We don't need to eat as much sugar as we do. Many crave less sweet treats or to taste the deep flavors of fruits, nuts, and spices. They certainly shine through when baking with less sugar. Joanne Chang is co-owner and pastry chef at Flower Bakery and Cafe with locations in Boston and Cambridge, Massachusetts. She is the author of Flower and Flower 2. Her new book is Baking with Less Sugar, Recipes for Desserts Using Natural Sweeteners and Little to No White Sugar. And we welcome Joanne Chang to the roundtable this morning. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Very nice to have you here. How did you come to this idea, especially with a business, to bake with less sugar?
Yes, you know, it is kind of funny because I do sell sugar as my livelihood. And so to create a whole book that espouses using less sugar might seem a little bit counterintuitive, but the fact is that I love desserts, and my husband loves desserts, and he's got a huge sweet tooth. And over the years, I have always been bringing home pastries from the bakeries. And one thing that we've noticed is that he's one of those people that when he consumes a lot of pastries, he goes on a sugar high, and then he crashes down into a sugar low. And so I started to experiment and play around with recipes using less sugar or even no sugar just to see if I could satisfy his sweet tooth craving without leading him to go through that sugar high, sugar low. And around the same time, we started to get a lot of guests at the bakery who come through and say, you know, I'd love if you offered pastries that didn't have as much sugar. Is this something that you can create for us? So I started experimenting, came up with a bunch of great desserts that honestly are just as good as, if not better, than their full sugar counterparts, and decided to see if I could write a whole book about them.
So the obvious question is, how do you negotiate a sweet tooth without much sweetener?
So there's a couple things to realize. One is that sugar is one of those things that you adapt to. So the more sugar you have, the more you crave. And then conversely, the less sugar you have, the less you really feel like you need it. So you can slowly train your palate to not need as much sugar. Another great thing about baking with less sugar is that you find that when you reduce the amount of sugar in a lot of recipes, what actually happens is you increase the amount of flavor in all of the other ingredients. So a great example of this is our oatmeal cranberry raisin cookie. We do an oatmeal raisin cookie at the bakery that uses, for a small size batch, it uses about 28 tablespoons of white sugar. In the low sugar counterpoint, it uses 6 tablespoons of sugar, which is less than a quarter of the original amount. But when you eat the cookie, you can't tell that there's less sugar. And that's because of a couple things. One, we take half of the raisins, we chop them up, and then fold them into the batter. And so that tricks your palate into thinking that the batter is sweeter than it really is. And then we increase the amount of vanilla and the amount of cinnamon in the batter. And so the cookie ends up being really highly flavored with cinnamon and vanilla. And the resulting cookie, you really taste all of the oats, you taste the raisins, you taste the cinnamon, the vanilla, the butter, and it's a delicious cookie that doesn't have you wondering, where's the sugar? It just has you wondering, when can I have another?
When you don't use sugar, and specifically white sugar, do you change the consistency at all?
Absolutely. In fact, that was the big challenge in creating these recipes. I thought that I was going to be challenged with trying to figure out how to persuade your palate to accept recipes that were less sweet. But again, that's one of the easier things because your palate will very readily adapt. The challenge was figuring out the textural differences that happen when you have less sugar. Sugar and baking is all chemistry, and sugar is a big component of that. And when you reduce the amount of sugar in, let's say, a cake batter, you're really reducing the ingredient which causes a cake to be tender, it causes the cake to be moist, and it causes the cake to brown into that beautiful golden color that we're used to seeing in a cake. So you really have to figure out ways to work around that so that you can still have a tender, moist cake that looks appealing.
It seems in the book that while you are looking to bake with less sugar, the real enemy, if there is one here, is white sugar.
Correct. I am simply trying to reduce the amount of refined white sugar in these recipes. Some of the recipes have a reduced amount, and then most of the recipes have no refined white sugar. But instead, we use natural sweeteners like honey or maple syrup or molasses or fruit juices, and those end up being the sweeteners for those recipes. So it's a good point. Like you said, it's not that there's an enemy. I don't view sugar as an enemy per se, but I do view it as something that we often overconsume. And so if there's a way to reduce that in our everyday baking and eating, but still enjoy our treats, that was the goal of this book.
What about brown sugar?
Brown sugar is not, you know, a lot of people think it might be a little bit healthier because it's brown. No, brown sugar is actually simply white sugar, refined white sugar that has a little bit of molasses mixed into it. So there's no real health benefit other than, you know, the trace amounts of minerals that you get from the molasses. There's no real health benefit to brown sugar.
You mentioned honey. You also use maple syrup.
Yes. I love these liquid natural sweeteners like honey and maple syrup. Maple syrup is, I think, the closest in terms of flavor. If you're going to sweeten a dessert and you want to mimic the flavor of white sugar, it's got a mild buttery flavor that works really well with most desserts. And so there's a maple apple breakfast cake, for example, that uses only maple syrup. It's delicious. It uses a small amount of maple syrup to flavor the cake. And again, there's more vanilla, you taste the apples, and so you end up with a really great pastry that just has a hint of sweetness from the maple.
Realizing we live in a world where we can Google anything and find the information out at that moment, when my wife and I were busy this weekend making Keith's super snappy ginger snaps, we asked each other the question, what is the difference between unsulfured molasses and blackstrap molasses? I knew it was something I could look up, but I said I would defer to you.
Well, blackstrap molasses versus unsulfured is it's a way in which they process the molasses. And so the molasses is a byproduct of sugar when they're refining it. And it ends up, it has a really, really strong taste. And so you have to be careful because it can be overpowering. And so for Keith's snappy ginger snaps, we use a little bit of the molasses, but we really do rely a lot on the maple syrup in order to flavor it. Did you end up making the cookies?
Yeah, they were great.
Oh, fantastic.
Absolutely amazing.
Yeah, that was a really challenging recipe because without sugar, you can't get a crispy cookie. And so we were baking these ginger cookies and I wanted them to be snappy like a ginger snap.
Right.
And we couldn't figure out what to do. And so we decided to dry them out in the oven. And that's how you get the characteristic crunch.
And I think you make the point in the book that because molasses is such a strong flavor, that was sort of proved your point that you could get by with using less of it.
Exactly. Yes.
Once you got the sweeteners right, I assume then texture is the issue, right? You want to get that right crunchy texture.
Yeah, I mean for the ginger snaps, what we found was drying out the cookies was the best way to get that snappy texture. Another example is the fudgy mascarpone brownies. We reduced the amount of sugar from 2 cups to 2/3 of a cup of white sugar in this recipe, and the flavor is spot on. But when we were testing it, they were really dry. And that's because sugar actually causes things to be moist. It attracts moisture in the air and draws it to itself. And so when you have sugar in a baked product, it makes the baked product really moist. So without all of the sugar, you end up with something that's potentially really dry. So what we did was we added mascarpone cheese, which is really rich, really fatty. And when you fold that into the batter and bake it off, you end up with a brownie that tastes great because it's got a lot of really strong chocolate flavor. And then because of the addition of the cheese, it ends up being really nice and moist.
Now, normally, and back to the ginger snaps, but normally if we were making these, we wouldn't have to chill the dough, would we?
Exactly. Normally, if you're using a ginger snap recipe that has a lot of sugar in it, I mean, you can chill the dough. That does help. It often does help because it firms up the butter, which often allows you to manipulate the dough a bit more easily. In this case, because there's so much liquid in the recipe with the maple and the molasses and there's no sugar, chilling the dough really does allow the dough to be firm enough so that you can use it and roll it out and then cut out the cookies.
Joanne, thanks so much for being with us. What a great pleasure.
Thanks so much for having me. Have a great day.
I appreciate it. Thank you. Again, the name of the book is Baking with Less Sugar, Recipes for Desserts Using Natural Sweeteners and Little to No White Sugar, published by Chronicle. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.